VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here today on the VCY American Network. We are certainly living in unprecedented times. On the political front, we see efforts underway to impeach President Donald Trump a second time. This morning, Republicans in the House blocked an attempt to bring up the 25th Amendment resolution. Social media has taken action against the president and against some conservative groups, blocking all social media efforts to communicate a direct assault on the freedom of speech. Banking actions have been taken against supporters of the president, and unprecedented actions taking place in this nation. Today, we have the U.S. Supreme Court denying an expediting of the cases pertaining to the November 3rd election. All this while some are pushing for government mandates of the COVID vaccination, even the ability to detain people. And the world continues to press forward with a great reset as world government gains traction. Well, tying all these things together, we welcome back Gary Ka. Gary is founder and director of Hope for the World. He's a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the state of Indiana. In 1987, he was asked to join the World Constitution and Parliament Association. That was one of the organizations involved at the forefront of promoting world government and its agenda. And during those next several years, he obtained some detailed documents that demonstrated the push toward a one-world government was active and rapidly advancing. And my, if it was rapidly advancing then, folks, put your seatbelts on because that's sure going fast now. Gary is with us, author as well of a couple of books. Gary, thank you for joining us. We caught you on the road here today. Thanks for carving out the time to be with us.
You bet. Thanks, Jim. It's good to be with you.
Let's just begin by getting some of your analysis of what we see going on politically at this time in our nation. I mean, last week we saw the Georgia vote, still concerns over Dominion voting system that was used in that election then, as was with the general election. Congress has now certified the electoral vote, and now the efforts to impeach a sitting president a second time.
Yeah, we were actually in Atlanta in a hotel room watching the results come in because we were there catching a connecting flight. And it's just amazing how the momentum shifted once again, and it was predictable. I told my wife earlier in the day the vote will probably be close, and then toward the end it will suddenly swing toward the Democrats and they will both get in. And that's exactly what happened. It's really pretty predictable at this point. We're down to about 8 days left of the Trump presidency, unless something huge happens between now and that time. I think we may be in for some more surprises. It's not totally over yet, but like you said, we are living in an unprecedented situation in the United States. Yeah. And I think everybody at this point who's the least bit alert and discerning is kind of wondering, Lord, what's going to happen next? And so we really do need to brace ourselves in every aspect of our lives, beginning with the spiritual side, and make sure we're walking closely with the Lord. And we want to be discerning Christians at this point in time. We don't want to be hateful toward those who have a different worldview against us, but we also have to realize that these people mean business, and they're getting very close to pulling off this agenda that they've been pushing for decades. As you know, Jim, I found out about this back in the 80s when I was working for the government, and then learned more when I was in the emergency management network for 7 years. Three of those years I had secret clearance. And this was a volunteer position that I was recruited for, and I learned a lot through that. And the people who briefed us were largely globalists. And so that really concerned me back then. And to bring this back around, what the point I want to make is it seems as if President Trump has been backed into a corner, and perhaps the only option left for him that he might be considering at this point would be martial law. And that cannot be ruled out. If that were to happen, though, unless he's been able to root out all the bad players, You know, things could go awry on that front as well. Mm-hmm. If he thinks he might be in control, but wouldn't be. And I can't tell you really for sure, but when I was in it, during the 7 years, I only met two other Christians, maybe a third one. But we were looking largely at globalists running the show. In fact, I remember at the one meeting I attended in Washington, D.C., just a couple of miles from the Capitol building at Fort McNair, our two main individuals who briefed us that day, who headed up the briefing, one was from the Rockefeller Foundation, the other one from the Council on Foreign Relations. And the luncheon speaker, who was a very popular globalist in Washington at the time, I had never heard of him before, but among the things he said was the fact that we needed to move away from our Judeo-Christian ethic as a country and move toward the religious philosophies of the East if we are going to successfully enter the New World Order. And this was in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, when the first Bush was president, George Bush Sr. And, of course, he was a globalist, but many of the people I met had been in these organizations even prior to him. And all of these emergency management network agencies were brought under the Department of Homeland Security once it was formed. So I want to hope for the best that, you know, all these people today would be loyal to our Constitution, to upholding our republic and freedom of speech and so on and so forth. But based on the experience I had back in the day, I'm not very confident that that would happen. And so my main concern over these next 8 or 9 days is what
we're losing
will happen, what yeah. could happen.
Okay. We were just losing you there for a moment, there from your cell phone. Gary, with President Trump leaving office just days from now, and next week, Wednesday, why do you suppose we're seeing such a concerted effort by Democratic leadership to get him out of office now? I mean, they're trying to do it today, and I mean, trying to invoke or push this resolution for 25th Amendment and have the vice president and the majority members of the cabinet to see him go, to say you're unfit for office, let alone if that's not working, then we're proceeding with impeachment from Nancy Pelosi. I mean, we are next week, Wednesday, he's out of office. Why such a concerted push to get him removed now?
Well, like I was saying, if there's any possibility at all of him declaring martial law, I believe the elites in Washington, the Democratic globalists, Pelosi, Schumer, the others, would want to do everything they could to keep that from happening, because no one really knows for sure what would happen under such a situation. Again, I would hope for the best that President Trump would actually be in control. And that's a best-case scenario. But I don't believe Pelosi, Schumer, and the others want to even allow for the possibility of martial law taking place. President Trump has been warned by various world leaders who support him. I have a couple of the letters on hand, even before the election, saying basically he's the last obstacle between the globalists and actually pulling off the New World Order, and that they would try to do everything possible to get him out of power. And we have now seen that happen, and one by one, every last possibility of overturning the election results has failed. And so, you know, like we were saying, we've got, 8 days left, 8 or 9 days, and the only thing left at this point in time could be some type of martial law situation, or using certain executive orders that have been put in place. But then all bets are off, because we really, really don't know what would happen in that kind of situation. I would simply hope for the best. I think right now Pelosi is sweating, and Schumer is too, because I think they don't know what's going to happen either. But they're wondering, is Trump going to go the final step and come after him? So very, very trying times. Our nation is split close to down the middle. I do believe, Jim, and I'm saying this as a concerned Christian, very concerned about the situation, but I do believe we are drifting toward a type of civil war situation. Because if people feel that they can't get a fair election anymore, there's not much else left to do.
Gary Kaa with us here today. Gary, I'm going to change the topic here just a bit, but because there are correlations with today's topic, world government gains traction. We will spend a good portion dealing with the Great Reset in our next segment, but the COVID vaccination is rolled out, and we actually have states now talking about mandating the vaccination, even being able to detain people who do not willingly take the vaccination. Your thoughts on these matters unfolding, because this is also part of global governance as well as for mandates such as these.
Yeah, much has been written over the last few weeks by some lead doctors and also just researchers who've been looking into this for quite some time. And one of those people who's been published widely of late is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he says COVID-19 vaccine should be avoided at all costs. And just a couple of statements he's made. I have many more from other people, but I thought this was interesting. He said the so-called last generation mRNA vaccines intervene directly in the genetic material of the patient and therefore alter the individual genetic material. He says, after an unprecedented mRNA vaccine, if you take that, you will no longer be able to treat the vaccine symptoms in a complementary way. You will have to live with the consequences because they can no longer be cured simply by removing toxins from the human body. Because the genetic defect is forever. And so he's basically saying we're part of an experiment. You won't know the long-term side effects for at least 1.5 to 2 years. He goes on to say the vaccine, developed and endorsed by Anthony Fauci and funded by Bill Gates, uses experimental mRNA technology. 3 of the 15 human guinea pigs experienced a serious adverse event. You know, I could go on and on from there, but just before we go to the break, I pulled this off of Moderna's website just this morning, and it's from an article, mRNA Platform, Enabling Drug Discovery and Development. This is what Moderna says. Recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, the program, or app, is our mRNA drug, the unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein, end quote. So they're putting something into our system that they can actually build on and really manipulate. And it's like having an app that you can update from time to time, you know, and things going in there. So this is unprecedented technology. No one knows for sure how it's all going to end, but it's a huge leap from previous vaccines. And I personally am very leery of it, especially because Bill Gates is funding a lot of this, and he has a history of supporting population control in the world in a drastic kind of way. His father was on the board of Planned Parenthood, and that family is all about eugenics. So I'm concerned as a Christian from that standpoint.
Gary Kaa with us today here on Crosstalk. A quick break, and folks, we'll come back more to our topic here on world government gaining traction. More to come. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old is the moon?
Chris, according to evolution, the Earth and the moon are about the same age, nearly 5 billion years old. But there's a problem. We observe that the moon is slowly moving away from the Earth. If you assume that it's always been moving away, then you can calculate how close it was to Earth at some time in the past. 1 billion years ago, the moon would be in contact with the Earth. Scientifically, this could not be. The Bible says that on day one of creation week, God created the Earth, but it was on day 4 that he created the moon. They were not ever connected. Chris, it shouldn't surprise us, but the scientific information fits with the biblical information. Science supports scripture and not evolution or long ages. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Kaa is with us today. By the way, his website, GaryKaa.org, Gary Kaa, K-A-H.org. And you'll find a lot of interesting articles on his site, as well as, Gary, you also put out a newsletter that people can subscribe to.
That's right. It's called the Hope for the World Update. We've been doing it for about 25 years now. It's a quarterly, typically 20 pages long, with some of the best articles by top researchers around the world, looking into the area of globalization and how it will affect Christians and conservatives. So we look at the spiritual, the political, the economic, the environmental aspects of this whole movement, trying to keep the Christians up to date.
GaryKaa.org is the website. Again, Ka is spelled K-A-H. Gary, as we transition here to world government and the pushing of what's called the Great Reset, I just want to point one other matter out in pertaining to these vaccines as far as the mandatory nature, even talking about detaining people. This really is all about a government control that's part of world government, is it not?
It is. It is really the Great Reset. The best way to define it in a sentence is that it's an economic, social, political restructuring that rejects nationalism in favor of global government and green economics and a new social contract really built around Marxist-oriented ideals. And they see this pandemic that I believe has been created as the perfect opportunity to embrace global interdependence and to push the envelope to bring all this in. And so it's a vehicle that they're using to bring about their ends.
Do you also see the what's happening right now in what's taking place in our elections as also being a vehicle pushing us toward that end as well?
Yes, I do. Those main players who I've documented them back in my spring issue in an article called COVID-19, A Global Conditioning. We name a lot of the people directly involved at the forefront of pushing this agenda through the COVID and the digital ID side of things. And they're all globalists, dedicated globalists with a socialist bent. Almost all of them are Democrats. There are a few Republicans in there as well, but mostly Democrats. And they're completely dedicated to this agenda, I mean, with a type of spiritual fervor. And I think that's what a lot of people have missed. And this isn't just an agenda, but it's as if these people are married to this agenda, as if they've made a pact with the devil, literally. I mean, they're that driven to bring this about. And so this Great Reset first began being talked about in some circles about a year and a half ago, I'd say, and then it became more prominent after Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum and the current executive chairman of that organization, wrote a book about the Great Reset, and he began talking about this more openly last June. And ever since that time, people are wondering what's this all about. So I've got a couple of good quotes here in front of me that I think will help us get a handle on it, if I may. The World Economic Forum is planning a global summit, which they have called the Great Reset, and it was initially going to be held just 2 weeks from now, but they have now pushed it out to May 18th to 21 in Lucerne, Switzerland. And the World Economic Forum has told us what it's all about. Here's a direct quote. They say, it's to improve the state of the world. The World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. And this may sound innocent enough, but in the sights of these radicals, the West, the free market, the rule of law, individual freedoms, they're against all that. This is a pro-socialism, pro-globalism, pro-one-world government movement with the full backing of many of our elites. Bill Muhlenberg wrote an article, really good article, The Great Reset and the Rise of the Radical Technocrats. And he quotes from some of the World Economic Forum recent articles. And one of their articles, we find the following statement. Again, this is quoting the World Economic Forum. They say, to achieve a better outcome, The world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. There are many reasons to pursue a great reset, but the most urgent is COVID-19. So again, they're using that as an inroads to give them an excuse to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
In that same article, author Justin Haskins is quoted regarding the Great Reset. And he says, at a virtual meeting earlier in June hosted by the World Economic Forum, some of the planet's most powerful business leaders, government officials, and activists announced a proposal to reset the global economy. Instead of traditional capitalism, the high-profile group said the world should adopt more socialistic policies, such as wealth taxes, additional regulations, and massive Green New Deal-like government programs. Although many details about the Great Reset won't be rolled out until the World Economic Forum meets, the general principles of the plan are clear. The world needs massive new government programs and far-reaching policies comparable to those offered by American socialists such as Senator Bernie Sanders and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in their Green New Deal plan. Or, put another way, we need a form of socialism, a word the World Economic Forum has deliberately avoided using, all while calling for countless socialist and progressive plans. End quote. So this is it's a huge deception. They're pulling the wool over our eyes. They're trying to make everything sound very benevolent, but once all this is in place, we're looking at Big Brother totalitarianism and being enforced by one world militants, in my opinion. This will not end well if they have their way and if this agenda is coming in. And Donald Trump, I believe, has fought against this. You know, people have all kinds of different views about the president, but if you look at the kind of attack that's come under from these very same forces that are trying to bring about this agenda, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why he's hated. They see him as standing in the way, and they want to take him out. And so, again, we're down to 8 or 9 days now, and it remains to be seen what may take place between now and Biden being sworn in.
Hmm. Gary, and some of the same tactics that have been utilized, and you talked about COVID being a catalyst for this Great Reset, but they're also using COVID as a catalyst for saying, now we know how to do it as we declare, you know, these national emergencies pertaining to, global climate change, and it was, you know, being our existential threat. We've heard that before. I mean, under the previous administration, we saw global climate change as being the number one military concern for the nation and the world. And we have seen how they have enacted the shutdowns and the control to take place as a means to stop the economy worldwide, basically, and to have control over the citizens. And there are those that looking as this being nothing but a roadmap for how to do it again, though, but using global climate change as being the reason why we need to do it.
Yeah, climate change and COVID-19 are the two biggest arguments they're using, and that they will continue to use, I believe, unless something better comes along. Any type of major international crisis that they can help to foster, they can then seize on these crises and move their agenda along. I just pulled up here an article. Again, worth quoting from. This is Archbishop Carlo Vigano, an insider within the Catholic Church, who wrote a letter to President Donald Trump on October 25th of last year, just days before the election, to warn him of what was being planned. And he was suggesting that much of this is coming from the Vatican itself through the current Pope. Yeah. So I want to share just a few paragraphs. He says, the purpose of the Great Reset is the imposition of a health dictatorship, aiming at the imposition of liberticidal measures hidden behind tempting promises of ensuring a universal income and canceling individual debt. The price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property and adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and COVID-21 promoted by Bill Gates with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. He goes on to say, beyond the enormous economic interests that motivate the promoters of the Great Reset, the imposition of the vaccination will be accompanied by the requirement of a health passport and a digital ID. Those who do not accept these measures will be confined in detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all their assets will be confiscated. This is the direct quote from this archbishop from the letter that he sent to President Trump. Right. Then he addresses the president directly. He says, Mr. President, I imagine that you are already aware that in some countries the Great Reset will be activated between the end of this year and the first trimester of 2021. That's basically now. For this purpose, further lockdowns are being planned, which will be officially justified by a supposed second and third wave of the pandemic. We've just started the second wave.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing on with the quote, you are well aware of the means that have been deployed to sow panic and legitimize draconian limitations on individual liberties, artfully provoking a worldwide economic crisis. In the intentions of its architects, this crisis will serve to make the recourse of nations to the Great Reset irreversible, thereby giving the final blow to a world whose existence and very memory they want to completely cancel. As is now clear, the one who occupies the chair of Peter has betrayed his role from the very beginning in order to defend and promote the globalist ideology supporting the agenda of the deep church who chose him from its ranks. And then he goes on from there. So he's saying even the Pope is involved in this, and along with many other top business leaders from around the world. And I did some research. We've got about 20, 25 of the world's top business leaders that just launched something on December 8th, just a few weeks ago, called the New Alliance, the Guardians for Inclusive Capitalism. And this council, this historic new partnership, is between the Vatican and some of the world's largest investment and business leaders. These leaders together represent more than $10.5 trillion in assets under management, and companies with over $2.1 trillion of market capitalization and over 200 million workers in 163 countries. We're talking about a powerful group that, as of December 8th, is now officially cooperating with Pope Francis. And I want to list some of these names. They include the President and Chief Executive Officer of MasterCard, the Executive Chairman of DuPont, the Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of Merck and Company, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of Johnson & Johnson, the Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Visa, Chief Executive Officer of BP.
Tell you what, Gary, I'm going to have you pick up
the Rockefeller Foundation,
yep.
And it goes on.
Yeah, and we're going to share a few more of these after the break because this is important information. Folks, this is something brand new formed, this new alliance just established between Pope Francis and the Guardians for Inclusive Capitalism, just formed last month in December. We'll be back with more in 60 seconds. This is Crosstalk on VCY.
Scripture provides many warnings regarding false prophets and false teachers in the world who present another gospel which is not another. Such are teachings from Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower Society. They preach a different Jesus, a different salvation, a different gospel which does not align with the Scripture. Do you know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe and how to counter them from the Bible? In the book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses, author Ron Rhodes presents point-by-point lists of the favorite tactics and arguments used by the witnesses, along with effective biblical responses to each one. Presented are hundreds of good questions that you can ask to challenge the Jehovah's Witnesses' confidence in the Watchtower Society. VCY is offering Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses for a donation of $19 or more. It is available by calling 1-800-729-9829.
We'll be right back.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, these things are not make-believe. I mean, here we have a new alliance just established between Pope Francis and a group called the Guardians for Inclusive Capitalism. Gary Kah is with us. By the way, his website, GaryKah.org, K-A-H, GaryKah.org. We're discussing today the traction that's being gained for world government at this point. And Gary, this brand new alliance that has been formed. We know there have been things lying beneath the surface here for some time, but now December 8th, 2020, the new alliance established, and you were just starting to go through some of the corporations such as Visa and MasterCard and Johnson & Johnson and DuPont and BP, and just like you to name some of the others that are part of this.
Right. Actually, Lynn Forrester de Rothschild is the founder of the council and managing partner of Inclusive Capital Partners. And this individual says, and I quote, "This council will follow the warning from Pope Francis to listen to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor and answer society's demands for a more equitable and sustainable model of growth," end quote. So, you know, they're making this sound as benevolent as possible. But it's still part of this global reset, this agenda. And you've got a direct link between what these people are doing and the Great Reset itself being put forth by the World Economic Forum. Along with Rothschild, you've got the Rockefeller Foundation involved, the president of the Rockefeller Foundation, also the president of the Ford Foundation, a former chairman and CEO and board member of MetLife and Saudi Aramco, president, chief executive officer of Guardian Life Insurance Company of America. I've got all of these listed in my article, which, by the way, is called COVID Vaccines and the Election Fiasco. And then it transitions into a second article I did called The Vatican, Pope Francis, and World Order. And I have gone ahead and posted those on our website, again, which is GaryKah.org. And so people can read it for themselves. This list I've been sharing with you is under the second part of the article. It's under the Vatican, Pope Francis, and World Order. So people want to take a look at that because these are some of the more powerful players involved. They're not the only ones involved, but they are the economic powerhouses supporting this agenda. And then within the World Economic Forum itself, you've got a few hundred of the world's top economic leaders and banking officials involved there. And again, they're going to meet in May. With your permission, Jim, what I'd like to do, I want to just add a little bit more to everything we've been sharing on the World Economic Forum and their Great Reset and how the Pope ties into this.
Yes, please.
By sharing some quotes from Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum.
Please do.
All right. I want to make sure I'm still connected because I know we've had a little bit of a phone issue here. And that's partly because I'm on the road and I'm using my smartphone rather than a landline. So anyway, Schwab predicts that the fourth industrial revolution, which we're in now, will lift humanity into a new collective and moral consciousness, his statement. Transhumanism is part of this transformation that comes with the fourth industrial revolution, as artificial intelligence will surpass even the best human performances at specific tasks. These new technologies, quote, will not stop at becoming part of the physical world around us. They will become part of us, end quote.
Wow.
That's a direct statement from Schwab. Again, he's the founder and the current executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. And he goes into a lot of this in his new book that has the Great Reset, actually, in its title. And there's an excellent article that covers this very well, written by Anthony Mueller, a German economist living in Brazil. He's a professor of economics. His article is called The Great Reset as a Dystopian Fourth Revolution. And if all of this moves forward, he says, a dystopian future awaits us if the global elite of the World Economic Forum have their say. The result would be a technocratic regime masked as a benevolent world government. So again, when you look into Klaus Schwab, who this guy is and what he believes, they blend religious beliefs, borrowing from Eastern mysticism, with artificial intelligence, transhumanism, technocracy, and the push for a new world economic order and the Green New Deal. I mean, this is all part of one big agenda. And I've said many times before, and I know you agree with me, Jim, that we're witnessing really the clash of two worldviews.
Yes.
One of those worldviews being anchored in the Judeo-Christian ethic and being in favor of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and everything that comes with that, a free enterprise system. And those pushing against that want to have a global government where you have a handful of people calling the shots and forcing their agenda upon us. And so naturally, they would be anti-Christian in their overall worldview because they see Christians and conservative Jews as being the ones who stand in their way because we favor a system built upon free enterprise, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, our U.S. Constitution, and so forth. And so all of this is coming to a head literally this week. We're seeing years and years of planning and pushing, and they're almost there, and they can smell the victory. And they've got to get rid of certain people, at least take them out of the public scene. And they're on the brink of being able to do that with Trump. We'll have to see how things go. And I would urge everyone listening to this program to pray like you've never prayed before, that God would still intervene at the 11th hour and that we would see a miracle take place, because our very freedoms and way of life are on the line right now.
Gary, as you've pointed out, President Trump has been very much a roadblock to things like the Great Reset and a roadblock to world government. He has sought to pull distance the U.S. from the U.N. in so many different ways. Now, when you talk about these things taking place and for this domination, you see the role of the Vatican, Pope Francis, and this world order and its promotion as well. Isn't Christianity itself a roadblock? And you know, we're seeing the pulling down from Twitter and Facebook and different social media platforms, conservative thought and pro-life groups. You referred to that earlier in our interview as well. But Christianity itself is a huge roadblock from these kind of things going forth, because it's pushing us toward, propelling us toward total world government. They're going to have to do something with Christians who are standing in the way.
Well, and part of that is this new global compact on education that the Pope has launched. He announced it in an address in September, and then they celebrated the beginning of the promotional push in October. In order to ensure victory, globalists have launched this final all-out push to educate, which really means convince humanity of the necessity for a new global society built upon a world government structure. And again, Pope Francis is in the middle of this. He's actually leading this effort. He is the lead figure in this effort to re-educate mankind. And I want to share again a few excerpts coming from a Catholic who in the past has been supportive of the Pope's, but he is seeing what's going on here and is speaking out. His name is David Rodriguez. He's a Catholic journalist, and in a special report put out by the Fatima Center in September, he made the following statements. I'm just sharing a few of his statements. He says, "Revolutionaries always seek to control the education of youth, which enables them to indoctrinate people in their formative years when they are most malleable. The goal of Pope Francis's Global Compact on Education appears to be a worldwide educational system controlled by international organizations, financed by billionaires, and directed by the global elites who promote secular humanism. The list of those who are supporting this initiative of the Pope is frightening. They include Jeffrey Sachs, who is an economist and population control advocate, whose biggest financial backer is George Soros. It also includes Bill Gates, Jack Ma, who's China's richest man, UNESCO and other agencies of the UN, the Islamic Development Bank, and the International Monetary Fund, among others. This is a very strong anti-Christian agenda, Jim, coming partly from out of the Vatican. I mean, it's way bigger than that, but the Vatican is at the forefront of this re-education effort to help introduce this to mankind. Continuing on with my quote from this article by David Rodriguez, he goes on to say, they promote population control by abortion, contraception, and sterilization. They support all the efforts of Agenda 21, which involves invasive and tyrannical control over nearly every aspect of people's lives under the guise of protecting the environment. Lastly, they share a purely naturalistic worldview that denies supernatural grace, man's eternal destiny, and the very existence of God, the author and source of all life. Pope Francis and other church leaders are scandalously and tragically using their positions, resources, and missionary network to try to convert the children of the world to the secular humanism of those who wish to usher in a new world order under a one-world government. Truly, the errors of Russia have spread throughout the world and have infected the highest levels of the Catholic Church, end quote. Again, this coming from a Catholic journalist, David Rodriguez. So we see even now conservative Catholics beginning to wake up in a major way to what is going on here and taking a stand, because they don't want to lose their freedom of speech, as we do not either. And so I just wish, I'd give anything, if people would have become awakened to this in a major way 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems as if sometimes the American people wait until their backs are to the wall, and then they finally get it and decide to take a stand because their own standard of living is on the line. But we've been warning people about this since the early 90s, I mean, for 30 years.
Yes.
And in the beginning, what, maybe 5 or 10% of people were listening. You know, now maybe it's up to 30% or so. But it's taken so long for people to come around and really, truly take a stand. And that's the unfortunate thing. And this time it may be too late. I really hope it isn't. And again, we'll see what plays out over the next few days.
Gary, is this a time to be living in fear?
No, never live in fear. As a Christian believer, we have every reason to know that our eternity is secure. That's the most important thing in this world. And even if persecution may come, you know, you look at the advice given to us in the New Testament, and I think of 2 Timothy 1:7, where Paul wrote, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind." And right now, we need to be of a sound mind. We need to be able to love even our enemies and realize that they've been deceived, and we need to pray for them. And we also have power. You know, through the Holy Spirit, we have power. We are not to wimp out and just back down and just let everything play out. I believe the Lord calls on us as Christians to stand firm, to be strong advocates for the truth, and to be courageous, no matter the cost. And there may be some cost associated with this. It's already begun. You know, certain people being taken off of social media platforms. But then we need to become creative and get the message out in other ways, and word of mouth as well.
We got to take a break here. Folks, we're going to open some phone lines for the final segment. 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. January 6th, 2021. Will that be remembered as America's Reichstag moment? Remember when Hitler burned his own building and then tried to blame it on his enemies? Apparently, there is increasing evidence, including video, of just that occurring. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, anarchist, invading the U.S. Capitol and doing the damage. Maybe a few Trump people got caught up in it. But somebody clearly opened the doors. I've been to the U.S. Capitol many times. Lived there in the D.C. area for 8 years. I used to go there when there were no metal detectors and anyone could walk in. I've been there years after. Everything is locked down. Somebody had to open those doors. Somebody had to remove the police. And you've seen the video of the police removing the barricades and letting them in. Folks, I think this was a staged event to now blame conservatives, Christians, constitutionalists as being domestic terrors. America better wake up and not buy the propaganda.
Sure. Gary Kha with us today. Again, his website. And folks, download his latest article at GaryKha.org, GaryKha.org. Let's go to Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, the Lord said the sons of this age are more shrewd than the children of light. In my opinion, it explains why contemporary Christianity, the Laodicean church, is so far behind, which enables Ephesians 6:12 to take dominance over all the people that are being duped by Romans 13:3-4. Long story short, the mind of Christ has taken a back seat to Satan himself.
Thank you for that, Mark. And Gary, this was connected back to Satan himself. I mean, what we see take place in this world today.
Yes, Satan is a master at lulling people to sleep, and I think in our country, in our case, it's been through comfort, you know, through comfort and entertainment, and people have come to seek that more. They like a little truth here and there, but not if it convicts them too strongly, because that means you have to really commit yourself, and that's a word people don't like. Yeah.
Let's go to George in Olney, Illinois. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. God commanded Israel at a certain time period to have a jubilee every 50 years reset. But that was God, and today it's anti-God, and it's just exactly what you say. It's going to be to glorify the devil.
Indeed, it is. And Gary, there's a significant difference between the year of Jubilee that we see God instituted for Israel and the Great Reset that's pushing for a world government that is very much anti-God.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how even these globalists will borrow certain principles from the Word of God and then really twist it around and turn it into something bad for the purpose of their control. And that's what Satan does. He's a counterfeiter. The master deceiver, and I think people have underestimated his being bent on bringing about a world system of government so that he can control it and force the worship of mankind. I mean, that's ultimately what this is about. It's a spiritual agenda. He's going to have his moment of glory. Thankfully, we know it won't last long because Jesus will return and put an end to it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes that abundantly clear. But that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be some very difficult times coming up. But you know what? The early church, they faced similar situations. They came through it, and the church grew. The church grew. Whenever there's persecution, it's as if people all of a sudden become more serious about their faith, and they realize that it is true. And that's why we're being persecuted, because we're the light of the world, and Satan wants to snuff that out. And so it just lends credibility in a weird kind of way to the fact that we do stand for the truth, and that's why they want to remove us from the scene.
Yeah.
So people, don't give up. Stand firm.
And indeed, recognize deception is all around us, folks. 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Let's go to Gavin calling in from Crestview, Florida. Gavin, you're on the air.
Yes, I would just like to ask, Donald, our president, has pretty much been just thrown under the bus here of late, and his own party, even our vice president and the Republican Party, has kind of just threw him to the wolves. You mentioned a while ago that there could be a civil war that may be brewing in all this, and this is not something that just started today. This has been going on for 20-something years. Is there anybody out there that you know of that is looking to the forefront, and if something like that were to take place, who's going to take charge of it and the American people take this country back over from those that are trying to destroy it?
Well, thanks, Gavin, for your question. What I see potentially taking place, we're very divided as a nation. A lot of it is along state lines. You've got some very ultra-liberal states, and you've got some very conservative states. And there's already begun a movement of people moving out of some of the liberal states and going to the more conservative states where they can enjoy more freedom. And so I believe that is what we might see next. Of course, if there is an if there's martial law declared, anything could happen, as I said at the outset. But overall, the overall trend, I think, is going to be for conservative states becoming more conservative and favoring our Constitution and abiding under it, while liberal states move further and further away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're going to see a lot of the divide. So the first question might be, which state will be the first to be bold enough, you know, to secede from the Union if it gets to that point? I could see possibly Texas, Oklahoma, a few of the other southern states, South Dakota, maybe Indiana, and you know, this is very real. I mean, this is a very real possibility, and it's actually being discussed in political circles mm-hmm. behind the scenes, and I've been somewhat privy to some of that conversation, so I know that it's going on. Now, how far down the road it is, I don't know. Whether we're looking at weeks or months, I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I think that's how this is going to unfold.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Gavin. And it's not a Gary's giving his observations. This is not anything that's
right.
being promoted. He's observing. This is indeed what's going on in our culture here today. And folks, if we have so often highlighted the key aspect, this is a battle not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle. William in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call there. It seems to be that any time, any more, any day, we start seeing more and more prophetic things come to pass. Can we stop prophecy? I want to ask your guest there.
Okay, thank you. And Gary, we got 30 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, I know Bible prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I believe God gave it often as a warning of things that would eventually come, not so that we can try to make it happen quicker and help bring the Antichrist to power, but rather as a warning that these things will eventually come. So when we do see them happen and unfold, we know the days that we're living in. But I believe it's always God's will for Christians to stand for righteousness and for what is right.
Amen. Thank you, William, for the call, and apologize to others. We've run out of time. Gary's website, GaryKah.org, K-A-H, GaryKah.org. Gary, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. It's always good to be with you.
Folks, be vigilant. Keep us all in prayer. Keep our nation in prayer daily.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.